This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What's up? Welcome to Match 2 of the Half Street Hot Seat, where we test your baseball knowledge, but more specifically, your Nationals knowledge. And we have an absolute Goliath matchup tonight as Ryan is defending his undefeated crown against newcomer, but probably the smartest person we know, Allison, making her podcast debut for, you know, not much on the line, right? No pressure whatsoever, but I am also joined by my good friend and rules official, Monty, MDT. Monty, how are we doing tonight?
It took me 16 years to get on this podcast, and she's been here like a month, and I'm here in protest.
I mean, okay.
Allison, noted. She went to Harvard.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm trying not to, I don't know how, Allison, how you feel about the whole Harvard thing, so I'm not trying to trot it out there, but you went to Harvard. You're a smart person.
It's a lot. No, but it's wonderful to be here. It's definitely a lot that you guys keep mentioning it, but
I'm just getting started.
I was going to say, like, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about this, like, I know you're new to the show, but there is a fair warning that if you should lose, it's going to be mentioned a lot, and not by us, but by Ryan.
I expected that, which is why I was studying last night, going through like years of rosters and years of records, and oh my god, just, and I'm still going to lose, so it's kind of.
I'm glad you answered the call, though. That's what's important. Ryan, should you win tonight? Where does this rank on your all-time wins?
We stopped the filter.
You know, it's just another day in the office. We have the eyes on the prize of a bigger picture, and that's taking down every single person at Half Street High Heat. So, you know, it's just another day at the office. It's another win. It's like Kobe said, it's just two wins. There's two more to go.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from Ryan. But before we get to trivia, there were some other teams going for wins, as there were a few signings over the past couple of days since we last recorded Half Street High Heat. The first being Noah Syndergaard left New York. He is finally out of the NL East. Didn't take the qualifying offer. Obviously, he's out of New York. He signed a one-year, $21 million deal with the Angels. Kind of surprising considering he had a qualifying offer attached to him, so the Angels are forfeiting a top draft pick to get him for 1 year after he's only pitched two innings the past 2 years. What were your guys' initial reactions to the signing and the strategy by the Angels?
Pitching's expensive. That is $21 million to a guy who has not pitched in 2 years. He's a very, very high upside guy. If Noah Syndergaard's healthy, we all know what he can do. We have seen what he can do every single year. The problem is he's not really healthy a lot. The Angels need pitching, and it shows that they're willing to spend. They should be there in LA. They got the money. And it's a good move. The rotation still needs help. If he's healthy, it's fine. It's a lot of money. The recent contract that came out a little bit earlier today made that one look a little bit better, but it's a high upside move. If Syndergaard's healthy, he'll be a good number two in that rotation, which is all they can ask for.
I was going to say, who's their number one? But then I realized Shohei's still there. I was like, I'm just so used to the Angels not having pitching. Allison, what were your thoughts?
Admittedly, I was kind of surprised because I feel like I thought that he was trying to stay with the Mets. I feel like he was very rah-rah about being in New York, wanting to stay with the team. I saw at least one friend of mine who's a Mets fan. I saw he tweeted something along the lines of how he felt like he'd been broken up with, which I think, you know, accurately captures that. So I was kind of surprised, but I really like the Angels. I think they're very, I have a soft spot for them. And so I hope that this actually can help turn them into contenders at some point. I feel like they deserve to win after so long and deserve to be good for a little bit. So I'm rooting for them, even if I'm kind of surprised that he left New York.
Yeah, I think a lot of Nats fans share that sentiment, especially after Rendon went there, and it was kind of just easy to root for Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. So I don't think you're alone there. Monty, you're wearing the Angels hat for some reason. Was that planned, or you just noticed
I'm the biggest fan? In my MLB The Show franchise, I am the GM of the Angels. And in the offseason, we actually did bring in Noah Syndergaard. We brought in Max Scherzer. And we acquired Shane Bieber. So this is just step one in the process of making a terrible rotation into a god rotation in one offseason. So the Angels are on their way if they follow the Monty plan, right, as it's known, in which case I expect some sort of compensation.
So I guess the Angels still have some big moves in store. But speaking of another big move, Ryan alluded to it, and another pitcher who didn't pitch at all last year, Justin Verlander, didn't accept a qualifying offer from the Astros, but did re-sign with the Astros 1 year, $25 million for Justin Verlander. Apparently, he's looked really, really good in his workouts. The velocity was still there. He had, 15 to 20 teams still interested. But an eye-popping number nonetheless. What do you guys think of the Verlander deal? Monty, I'll kick it back to you since he's your favorite pitcher on earth.
I have no comment. My lawyers have it's told me not to speak.
Got it. All right. Ryan, what about you?
I tweeted out, teach your kids how to pitch. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. He's 37 years old. He basically just signed a $50 million contract over 2 years with the option. He said that it was about loyalty that the Astros showed him. I would be loyal to Astros also if they offered me $25 million. I really want to see the other contracts because I don't think they got that high. Their pitching has kind of been taking a hit in the last couple of years. So if they can get a healthy Verlander back, I get it why they overpaid. But every single free agent pitcher right now is smiling looking at these two contracts that just happened.
Ryan, are you trying to tell me how to raise my kids?
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you to do, Monty. Teach them to pitch, preferably left-handed, because they'll be really rich.
Yeah. Tie that right hand behind their back.
Exactly. Allison, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I echo everything Ryan said, but it's also just I feel like if you've already made it to the World Series again without him, right? And not that's not to say that their rotation was excellent, but obviously they did not win, and obviously there were holes there. But I just feel they definitely overpaid, and I'm kind of surprised, but I guess it's good for them. They're still trying to stay in it and still trying to be a contender. I'm surprised. I'm curious to see how much of the rest of their team will be left standing around Verlander, to be quite honest. But I don't know.
Zero World Series wins. Just, want to throw it out there.
Fair point.
Monty versus Justin Verlander will be the next episode of Trivia. We will line that up, talk to Justin Verlander's agent.
He doesn't want that smoke.
Last bit of pitching news, or at least pitchers getting paid. As Ryan also said, pitching is expensive, and the Blue Jays were well aware of that. They signed Jose Berrios to a, 7 year, 133
sounds right. 7 years, 133. Does that sound?
So when I first saw it, I thought it was much larger.
It was a little bit less than 133 because it was 18.7 AAV, I think.
Yeah, I was when I first saw the number, I was like, damn, that's a lot. But then doing the math in my head, that's actually a really great deal for both sides. I mean, Berrios gets the security he's looking for, and the Blue Jays lock up their pitcher that they got at the deadline and, solidify that rotation for the next several years. Allison, I'll kick it back to you. What were your thoughts on the extension and just the Blue Jays' push to remain competitive?
That one out of the three that we've just talked about kind of made the most sense to me. Especially also from a standpoint of there will be nothing post December 1st. There will be no contract negotiations. We're just going to be in purgatory. Good on them for figuring that out and figuring out a very long deal before nothing is happening. AAV made sense to me. Everything. I don't root for the Blue Jays, but another team where I'm like, I want them to do well. So I am. I'm happy for them, and it made sense to me. It's reasonable.
What a concept to extend players that are valuable to your team. I just couldn't be the Nats, though.
I used to be a massive Twins fan in 20, 18 for a year. No, I'm just kidding. It was just to get my MLB TV, make sure I was using a bunch. But Berríos, I love Berríos. And I think, you know, I don't know what, I can't remember what the Blue Jays gave up in that trade, but at this point, I think that's going to be a W on the trade there, regardless of what they gave up. Because not only did he, was he going to give them a year and a half of team control, now they're going to get six more years at 18.7. He's got ace stuff. He does tend to walk a lot of guys, but like, I remember early on in the season, he was facing Corbin Burns and they had like dueling no hitters into the sixth. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty, like, it was really cool to watch those two guys. And the AL East is not an easy place to pitch, but I really like the fact they nailed that down, especially if they're not getting Robbie Ray back. Steven Matz probably not coming back. So, you know, they needed to make sure they had some, you know, reinforcements.
Yep. Ryan, thoughts on the Berríos extension? Probably less than he would have gotten on the open market, but still a solid deal nonetheless.
Yeah, so when I saw it was 7 years, I was thinking 140 up. I thought for sure he was getting over 20 million. He just finished his age 27 season, so he thought someone like that was going to get paid. But that was a very good deal for both sides. It's funny to have like $135 million contract and say that's team friendly, right? But it was team friendly. Like, it's less than 19 mil a year. That leaves payroll flexibility when their young studs hit free agency in a couple of years. That was a great deal. And it was also important because the Blue Jays gave up a lot for him. They gave up a ton when everyone was like, oh my God, the Nats got fleeced because they didn't really get that much back. They gave up a ton for him. Now, the fact that they got him for seven additional years, they could care less about what they gave up. That's all that matters here. They got their guy, they traded for him, and they paid up and they gave him a great deal. And that is going to be a very fun team in the next couple of years because that division is absolutely loaded and they want to compete.
I mean, it was already fun this year. I mean,
right.
We didn't get our chaos day, but it was very, very close.
Yeah.
I mean, they won 92 games and finished fourth.
And wild. I mean, it would behoove them to go after Marcus Semien because he's one guy that they wouldn't have to give a pick for.
Ooh, big word.
He does have a qualifying offer attached him. You like that? I'm trying to be
trying to step up my game. Well, I thought Allison was inspiring you to up your game.
You know, Coastal Carolina, Harvard of the South. But yeah, I mean, that's really all we got for splashes right now. Qualifying offer news. Brandon Belt accepted his, going back to the Giants. I don't think that's necessarily a surprise. Raziel Iglesias declined his, not necessarily going back to the Angels just yet. Obviously, they could come to terms on a better deal for Raziel's side, but he declined his qualifying offer officially. Cy Young news, going back to the Blue Jays, Robbie Ray won the Cy Young in the AL. Kind of definitely a dark horse. I mean, nobody had him on their Cy Young big boards to start the year. And then Corbin Burns. I don't know if that's a surprise. I don't necessarily want to like call him an upset or anything like that, but he won it for the NL. Ryan, what were your reactions to the NL Cy Young? I know we were talking about it a little bit beforehand, but certainly an odd year for Cy Young all around.
This Cy Young competition between Wheeler and Burns was literally like the nerds versus old school. Corbin Burns, all of his peripherals and like advanced metrics were like, this guy's the walkaway, like runaway Cy Young. Zach Wheeler had the old school stats that kind of been leaning on towards. Jacob deGrom a couple years ago made the wing conversation completely irrelevant, but he had the innings and with not that much worse of an ERA. I'm not surprised just because Corbin Burns was pretty damn good the entire year. Joe Girardi, though, lost Zach Wheeler the Cy Young because there's a couple of times we threw him back out there in the ninth inning and like things
119 pitches. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And things fell apart in those innings, rightfully so. Guy's arm was falling apart and he lost in the Cy Young. But it's really funny because it took the Phillies having the likely NL MVP and the second place Cy Young award winner just to get above 500.
82-80.
Jesus cannot get that man to 90 wins. That team to 90 wins. Like, That's my takeaway.
On an episode of Half Street High Heat back in April, we did Contender versus Pretender. You guys remember that? Or by nope. We, I mean you guys, because I wasn't on it. Okay, there was Contender versus Pretender. And the final one was Corbin Burns is off to the biggest start, one of the biggest starts of the year. Is he a contender or pretender? All three of you guys said contender for the Cy Young back in April.
Oh, I remember that.
The problem was at the time was DeGrom, but everyone said he may not win it, but he would be a contender. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there to, you know, let you guys pat yourselves on the back.
Appreciate that. I thought you were going to talk about the Giants thing again for like the millionth time. So that's why I said no. But
well, that was foolish.
That's the way the AL MVP and the NL Cy Young will go for the next 5 years at least. It's Mike Trout and Jacob DeGrom, unless they get hurt. And that's going to be the prediction for the next 5 years at least. But Allison, what were your thoughts on the Cy Young?
At least on the NL side, I never thought that Max Scherzer was actually going to win it. I feel like there were a lot of people who thought that he could get it. And I saw that a lot, especially on Twitter, especially from Nats fans. And I don't think that was ever realistic. I agree.
Logical bunch. They are.
I mean, it was entered. I would have loved it if he won it. But it seemed to me to be a lot more focused on the second half of his season as opposed to the first half. And I think it just made more sense that it ultimately came down instead to Corbin Burns and Zach Wheeler. So made sense to me.
Yeah, I think I was fine either way. Atlanta, whether it was Wheeler or Burns, Robbie Ray seemed like the logical choice at the end of the day. Like Garrett Cole would have been the quote unquote popular choice, just because big pitcher, big market. But I think Robbie Ray deserved it more than Garrett Cole, and Lance Lynn just didn't have the, you know, the volume that Ray did. So I think they got it right. It definitely was an odd year, but let's get to trivia. That's what we're here for. Obviously, you know, I think we've delayed it enough. I don't know if we've delayed the inevitable one way or another. I'll let you guys interpret that the way you choose. But we're going to get started. 9 rounds, as always, 6 questions about the Nats for you guys and 3 questions about general MLB. We also added a nice little bonus round tonight. So the bonus round, we're calling it the 7th inning stretch. It won't be between the 7th, you know, the first question of the 7th round, the second question of 7th round, but it will be before the 7th round. It's not a little bit of a tougher question for you guys, you know, the opportunity to earn double points. So if, you know, anyone is trailing, it's an opportunity to get back in the game quickly, because obviously if you get yours, you steal your opponent's. That's a 4-point swing right there. So wanted to add another wrinkle into trivia, but we will see how this goes. Obviously, if you're down and you lose your question and then the opponent steals your question and get there, it could make a blowout really bad. So that's why we implemented it after Amanda, because it turned a 7-2 affair, you know, rather than a 11-2 affair. But
this one's a more even match. No offense, Amanda.
Much love to Amanda, but I'm just hoping to beat her score, and I think then I'll be fine. Then I'll be okay, even if I lose.
Now you have to have an opportunity to tie it in one question. So there you go.
You guys are very optimistic.
Yep, 2 points is what Amanda got last time. For the listeners that can't remember or weren't aware, 2 points for Amanda, 7 for Ryan. He took home the easy victory.
All right, here we go. I do have a buzzer this week. We will see, you know, how long that goes. Well, 31 seconds on the clock. Ryan has elected to go second again this week, so Allison will be starting off each round.
Oh,
round 1, jersey numbers. Time will start when I finish reading the question. If Monty would. Yeah, there you go. Only one player in Nats history has ever worn the number 74. Who was that player?
I, like Amanda, I'm also very bad at jersey numbers. I'm going to assume, however, I definitely looked at this before. It's got to be a pitcher. Geez.
10 seconds.
Oh my goodness. This is stressful. This is very under pressure, very stressful.
3, 2, 1.
No answer. Okay. I didn't realize that I had, okay. Do I have to answer by the buzzer time?
Yes.
Or is it a buzzer and then like I can give an answer?
No, you have to answer by the buzzer time. Okay. Do you have an answer?
I was just going to guess Drew Storen, but that's a total guess, because I have no idea.
Okay. Well, that's wrong anyways. Ryan, 15 seconds.
I'm going Sean Nolan.
Ryan, can you take the filter off, please? It is incredibly distracting. There we go. Final answer.
Yeah, I'm going Sean Nolan.
That is correct. The answer is Sean Nolan.
I knew I had looked at that one. I should have known that one. Oh, well.
Ryan out to the early 1-0 lead. Next question for Ryan. Only one player in Nats history has ever worn the number 69. Who is that player?
Oh, I'm going Fernando Abad.
Final answer?
Yeah, let's fraud it.
This is incorrect. Oh God, I am so sorry. Allison.
Two A names. It's fine.
Opportunity to steal to get back in the game. 69.
Guys, I'm really guessing here. This is embarrassing.
5 seconds.
Fernando Rodney, since you're going to go with Fernando. I don't
final
know.
Final answer at the buzzer. Correct answer is AJ Cole. I believe, for what it's worth, Abad was number 68. So I think you were close, Ryan. Correct answer is AJ Cole.
Never would have gotten that.
It's all right. 1-0 game. Still plenty of questions to go. Round two. Runs. In the 2010 regular season, Ryan Zimmerman tied what other Nationals player for the team lead in runs scored with 85?
2010. Oh God, I literally just looked at this one. I want to think it's an Adam. I'm almost positive it's an Adam. I'm trying to remember if it's Adam Dunn or Adam LaRoche. I'm going to say Adam Dunn. That's what I'm going to guess.
Final answer?
Yes.
That is correct.
Got one.
Done. 85 with Ryan Zimmerman that year. Next question for Ryan. In the 2013 regular season, Ryan Zimmerman tied what other Nationals player for the team lead in runs scored with 84?
2013 is such a random year. I'm going to go Michael Morse.
Final answer?
Sure.
That is incorrect. 15 seconds to Allison to take the lead.
I'm going to say the other Adam. I'm going to say Adam LaRoche this time.
Final answer?
Sure.
Correct answer is Jason Wirth. Jason Wirth. Because that was when he was batting leadoff a bunch and up in the lineup, and you had some heavy hitters behind him like Adam LaRoche. But Jason Wirth. All right, still 1-1. Anybody's game. Round three is going to be whip. First question for Allison. In the 2016 regular season, what reliever led the Nationals in whip with more than 10 innings pitched?
Okay, I'm just trying to get the time period right. 2016. Oh, boy. There's no names coming to me right now. There are no names.
10 seconds.
Oh no. I know he was a closer, and I know it wasn't this time period, but I'm just gonna say Jonathan Papelbon. I knew it wasn't.
That is time. Final answer.
Jonathan Papelbon. Yeah.
Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
2016. I don't think Rafael Soriano wasn't on the team in 2016, was he?
He's still getting paid though, still is.
2016. Screw it. I'll go with Tanner Roark. He was in the bullpen one of these years.
Final answer.
Sure.
Correct answer is Mark Melancon.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Monty said the same thing. So Monty proofread the questions, and he said he forgot about Mark Melancon too. So take a little pride in that I was able to stump everybody. Next question for Ryan to take the lead back. In the 2011 regular season, what reliever led the Nationals in whip with more than 10 innings pitched?
I'm going Matt Capps.
Final answer?
Yes.
15 seconds to Allison.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. 2011. God, I just looked at this one, too. I know he wasn't a reliever. I'll just say seconds. Tyler Clippard. I don't know.
He very much was a reliever, but that is the wrong answer. Correct answer is Craig Stammen. That was his, I don't know if it's his rookie year, but I believe it was his first year in the Nats. He barely got above 10 innings. That's actually why I had to put the caveat that they had to pitch at least 10 innings. All right, round four is WAR. WAR, this question will be for Allison. In 2018, Max Scherzer led the team in WAR with 9.2. What position player was second that year?
You know when you like have an answer and you're like, you like know that you knew it once and you're like, you just cannot recall it. Position player in 2018 who was second that year. Oh no. I'm going to guess Rendon. That's what I'm going to guess.
Final answer?
Yeah, sure.
That is correct. Anthony Rendon had a 5.1 WAR that year. 5.1. So 2-1. Ryan, a chance to tie right here. In 2018, Pedro Severino had the lowest WAR in the Nationals with a negative 1.1. This is the same year. What position player was second lowest on the team after leading the Nationals previously in position players' WAR in the 2016 season? So he was good in 2016, not so good in 2018.
Playing 2016, liability in 2018. I'm going Jason Worth.
I like the logic there. Final answer?
Sure.
That is incorrect. Allison, 15 seconds to you.
Second lowest in 2018, but high in 2016. Oh, God. Oh, no.
5 seconds.
Oh, my God. Three, two, one. Nope, not coming to me.
Correct answer is Daniel Murphy. Daniel Murphy. Ryan, I understand that that question was a little bit weirdly worded, but try to keep it the same year. Notable name. And Max Scherzer has just been dominating WAR for the Nats. So had to make it even somewhat. Round five, only a 1-point game. All-star appearances. All-star appearances. Who was the Nationals' lone representative at the 2007 All-Star game?
Is this one for me?
Yes, it is for you.
Oh my God. I knew this one. Oh no. Crap. Is this the guy who got traded and was there for only the year? Was this that guy whose name I'm not remembering?
Lord. 10 seconds.
I thought it was a pitcher.
5, 4, 3.
I'm just going to say Christian Julian, but I know it's not him. I just know he was this one. Yeah.
Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
Chad Cordero.
Final answer.
Chad Cordero.
Correct answer is Dimitri Young. Dimitri Young. I believe he was only there 1 year, maybe two.
Like it I said, dancing around the edge of the answer.
it wasn't very long. Next question for Ryan. Who was the Nationals' lone representative at the 2008 All-Star Game? So 1 year later.
That was the first year I came to Nats Park. I'm feeling Zem. I'm just going to go Zem.
Final answer?
Sure.
Allison, 15 seconds to you.
It wasn't Zim, but it's another person who otherwise I wouldn't have known about if I hadn't looked at this before. God, I think it was a pitcher.
But 5 seconds.
Forgetting who.
3, 2, 1.
I'm not going to give an answer.
Correct answer is Christian Guzman. Not exactly the all-star representative you would have thought. Like Zim was not a bad guess.
No, I knew that. But
also a sign of the times.
I knew that. I thought he was 07. Wasn't him in 07. I just got thrown off. I was like, whatever, he was an all-star then, I guess.
That's all right. It's only a 1-point game. Plenty of time left. Round six, final Nationals category. Playoff sadness. And there's plenty of it. This question for Allison. What Nationals pitcher gave up the go-ahead home run to Brandon Belt in the 18th inning of Game 2 of the 2014 NLDS?
Drew Storen.
Final answer?
Yeah, I think.
Incorrect. Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
Tanner Roark.
Final answer?
Tanner Roark.
We got ourselves a tie ball game, folks. Correct answer was Tanner Roark. Ryan, to take the lead. What Dodgers pitcher earned the save against the Nats in Game 5 of the 2016 NLDS?
Clayton Kershaw.
Final answer?
Clayton Kershaw.
Ryan has taken back the lead. Correct answer was Clayton Kershaw. thought I might stump somebody.
That was Clayton Kershaw versus peak Daniel Murphy, and Murphy popped up, and then Wilmer freaking Defoe was the last at bat because Anthony Rendon got subbed out.
See, I thought that might be ingrained in someone's brain, but that's the point of playoffs, as sadness, as we always remember. But now it's time for the seventh inning stretch. This is our bonus round. These questions will be slightly more difficult questions for the chance to earn 2 points. So each question is worth 2 points. This is a 4-point round. So high importance, high importance. Same time limit, 31 seconds on the clock per question. Midseason acquisitions is the category. Midseason acquisitions. First question for Allison. The Nats acquired this player midseason in 2009 for outfielder Lastings Millage and pitcher Joel Hanrahan.
This is rough. This is difficult.
10 seconds.
Oh, no.
It's a bonus round.
Yep, I got that.
Three, two, one.
I'm gonna leave. It's fine. It's all right. Ryan, take the lead.
Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
All right, 2009, that was before the pitcher acquisition. So you have to think who else. I'm going the Buffalo Wilson Ramos right here.
Final answer?
Sure, let's see if it's right.
It is Niger Morgan.
Oh, the other goat. Damn it.
Niger Morgan. It's all right. Still worth 2 questions, or it's 2 points. Excuse me. This question, the Nats acquired this player midseason 2017 for pitcher Mackenzie Mills and international signing money.
2017. God, what the hell happened in 2017?
Pain.
Oh, Brandon Kinsler.
Final answer.
Sure.
Incorrect. Allison to take the lead back.
Oh, you have too much faith in me because I am definitely not going to. in 2017, who would have come back?
5 seconds.
Yeah,
Two, one. Nope. Correct answer is Philly's special assistant, Howie Kendrick.
I almost said him too, and I thought I would sound stupid if I said him. So, Kendrick. It's fine. It's fine.
Howie Kendrick.
Oh, he's with the Phillies now anyway.
Yeah, more beloved by the Phillies than the Nats.
We got him from the Phillies, and now he's back with them.
Now he's back with the Phillies. Still a 1-point game, but there's only 3 questions left, 6 points on the board. Round 7, World Series titles. Keep in mind, we're going back to general MLB now for the final 3 rounds. This question will be for Allison. Of the cities to have won a World Series previously, Cleveland has the longest drought at 73 years. What AL city has the second longest active streak? We are looking for a city here.
Oh, God. An active streak in the AL. Oh, God.
Ten seconds.
You know, I don't think this is right, but I can't recall all of them. So I'm just going to go with Toronto. I don't think that's right, but I'm going to say Toronto.
Final answer.
Sure.
Ryan, 15 seconds for the steal.
Touch them all, Joe. That's a great call. Of the teams that have won, I'll go in Baltimore.
Final answer.
Sure.
That's a 4-2 lead for Ryan. Correct answer is Baltimore. 38 years and counting since their last title. This question for Ryan. Of the cities to have won a World Series previously, Milwaukee has the longest drought at 60 years. What NL city has the second longest active streak?
It's not a real state. I'm going Cincinnati.
Final answer?
Sure.
Allison, 15 seconds to steal. Get back within one.
Oh, my God. This is really hard.
Five seconds.
Oh my God.
Three, two.
It's not the Rangers, but I'm just, one. No, they're not even in the, never mind.
Sorry, that's
it.
Time. Correct answer is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, 42 years. 42 years.
These all make sense when you say them.
Funny how that works when you find out the answer.
Yeah.
Round 8, 4 questions left on the board. Ryan with the 2-point lead. Round 8 is World Series MVPs once again. This question for Allison, who was the 2016 World Series MVP?
So in 2016, who won in 2016? So wasn't the Cubs? Yes, it was the Cubs that won in 2016. It was the Cubs who won in 2016. And who was the MVP? Not the Cubs. who's on the Cubs in 2016?
Ryan looking confident.
I know, I hate it.
10 seconds.
Oh my God.
3, 2, 1.
I think let's say Craig Kimbrel. I don't know. It's definitely not him, but
I'll accept that answer as incorrect. Ryan, 15 seconds to steal.
In Zobrist.
Final answer.
He had the game-winning hit in game 7. Ben Zobrist.
5-2 lead for Ryan. 3 points left on the board. 3 points left. Allison, you will need all three of these.
I will congratulate you on your victory now, Ryan. But I like to think that I've at least been entertaining.
just thinking, you'd gotten that Howie Kendrick answer right.
I know.
It'd be, oh, man.
You can still beat Amanda. You can still beat Amanda. Even if you don't beat Ryan, you can beat Amanda.
Sorry, Amanda.
This question for Ryan to clinch the match. Who was a 2018 World Series MVP?
So, I only know this because my buddy is a huge Red Sox fan, and he talks about him all the time. Steve Pearce.
Admittedly, I was a little worried about that. Final answer. That is the match for Ryan. He has clinched it with a 5-2 lead.
Or that no, is one me, I would have known, two. Too. Oh.
6-2 now, right? Correct, Monty? 6-2. All right, these points matter for standings and rankings and whatnot. Round 9, one-hit wonders. One-hit wonders. Allison, you need this to beat Amanda. This NL pitcher won the Cy Young in 2015 with a dazzling 1.77 ERA and 236 strikeouts.
Oh, my God. these are much harder. these are worse. God.
One hit wonder. So you're trying to think of someone who only had that one good year.
I barely was even paying attention to baseball in 2015.
the Chumbawamba of pitchers.
Yeah, I doubt.
Thank you, Monty. Thank you, Monty.
3 seconds. Yeah, I'm not gonna get it, but I'm interested to hear the answer.
Oh no, she gets knocked down.
That was incorrect, not correct. Ryan, 15 seconds to steal.
This is a year that Granke should have won, but they gave it to Arrieta for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Final answer.
Jake Arrieta. Ryan
padding his lead. Jake Arrieta is the correct answer. Final question of the match. If Ryan gets this wrong, that's Allison's last chance. This AL pitcher won the Cy Young in 2015 with a 2.48 ERA and 216 strikeouts.
I'm gonna go Corey Kluber.
Final answer.
Sure.
Corey Kluber has won 2 Cy Youngs, so he would not be a one-hit wonder.
Allison, right. He did
get 15 seconds. You need
I was hoping you'd get it, so you wouldn't have to put me through answering another question.
10 seconds.
Oh man,
think one-hit wonders.
I know. I'm trying. I'm trying to help you. I know, and I appreciate it. I'm just not gonna get it. So
lucky for the White Sox. 3, 2.
Craig Kimbrel? Oh, I don't know.
I forgot it was Keuchel.
Correct answer is Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel. Yeah.
I understand that answer made no sense. I was just panicked.
Was the final score 7-2 again?
7-2.
Ryan, an absolute. Well,
what's even better? Ryan only got 2 of the questions that were assigned him correct. All the others were steals off Allison.
Look. Deferring is the greatest thing in the world. Because first of all, my questions were a lot harder. I just want to put that out there. This was made knowing that I had second. And second of all, always defer in trivia. If you have the chance to go second, like always football. Go second. It's exactly. It's like The Price is Right. You'll be the second person to guess the showcase, not the first one. The second showcase is always better.
Allison led through the first 5 rounds, by the way. That's over worried. Half the game. That was over half the game.
Absolutely no offense whatsoever, Allison. I was not worried.
You had no reason to be, but the 5 rounds were excellent. I felt very good about myself for 5 rounds.
Admittedly, I did make the second set of questions harder, but in general, I thought they were pretty even. I asked Monty, but
yeah, I agree, they were also fair.
I wrote the questions before I asked Ryan if he wanted first or second, so they were always going to stay the same. But
yeah, Ryan's fault.
Worked out for Ryan. Allison, it did not work out for you. Apparently, you've set feminism back 100 years. So good luck rectifying that whole situation. It's not like it took, 2021 years to get to this point or anything like that. So I'm sure a setback of 100 years, no big deal. Ryan, another convincing win for you. It was close for a while. You pulled away strong at the end. How we feeling? 2-0, the only undefeated team. Well, who's played a match at least. How we feeling?
Look, I'm just gonna keep quoting Kobe. Kobe was asked about this one up 2-0, and he gave that legendary answer, right? You know, it's just beginning. Job's not done. Job's not done.
I guess we can give the floor to you. Who are we calling out next week?
You know,
took down Amanda, took down Allison.
Exactly.
No offense to you, Allison. Semi offense to Amanda. Maybe not the strongest competition. So who do you think stands a chance? Who's going to put up a fight up against you?
You know, let's keep mixing it up. Let's get YouTube on here.
Trey.
Is he allowed? He's just a YouTube person. So I don't know.
Any challenger has to accept the call out.
All
of
right.
course, but of course, if he wants to come on, he has a spot. So we will ask Trey if he so chooses to be part of the trivia. Although after this showing, he might not want that smoke. Like Monty says that, but he might not want that smoke.
Now,
I can't help but notice that Ryan is not coming for me at all.
You're on all the time. I'm trying to get the new people on here.
It's true.
Yeah. You're trying to get people on here, diversify. Right. You're scared.
It's over. Monty versus me next game. Start selling the tickets. Pay-per-view, 8 p.m. Start selling the tickets.
All right.
Chili's is catering it. Sorry,
Chili's game of the week.
Sorry, Trey.
Chili's game of the week. Monty versus Ryan. Ryan did not like being called out whatsoever.
Good.
All right. You'll hear for it. I will have to find a supplementary rules official for next week.
This right, is looks the like Allison's back next week.
Yeah,
Allison's back.
This was great. I really enjoyed this. I may have lost, but I am very pleased for just having made my podcast debut. So this has been great.
Well now you can be the rules. Now you can be the rules officiant and not be under pressure.
That sounds like the perfect job.
Yeah, you'll know the answers beforehand. So we can make that happen. Allison, if you would like, you can be the rules official for next match.
Very down.
All right, let's do it. So Monty and Allison will be trading places next week as Monty tries to knock down Ryan from his pedestal and hand him his first loss of the season. Ryan, second strong showing in a row, 7 points per game. We'll see. Somebody's going to be wrong next week, and I'm excited for it. But that does it for this episode. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Half Street High Heat. You can follow Monty at Monty2740, Allison at JuanSotoHR, Ryan at We Are All Shaq, and myself at Nationals Ace. We appreciate listening. This has been an episode of the Half Street Hot Seat. We'll be back on Monday or Tuesday, depending on what news breaks with Half Street High Heat. Appreciate listening. Until next time, let's go trivia.
There's a new breeze blowing off the banks of the Potomac. A new team's mowing down the ranks of their opponents. The Nationals are smashing balls, so that the commentator who has the calls has passed the wall to see you later. Let's go Nats. We've got a game to play. We're gonna win today. Let's go Nats. We're gonna score for score. We're gonna win for sure. So call your local congressman. We need another monument. The Nats are rolling on the win roll. D.C. Let's go Nats.
By the early light of dawn, well, you can see they're running scared, 'cause the kinds of bombs we're launching are bursting in the air. Tell the Library of Congress that they might not want to look, 'cause we're putting curly W's in every book.
Let's go.